you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right. Welcome to the latest edition of Running Plays Podcast. I'm here with Kareth Burke. This is Logan Murdoch. What's popping, Kareth? I see you in the dungeon right now. You know what I'm saying? You got some little light on. It's a little vibey. What's popping?
My office space is the bedroom. The backdrop is the closet. My husband's in the other room doing his conference call. So I closed the door in here. I've got my own private workspace. We're getting it done. We're making do, Logan.
Yeah, we are making do, man. What day is this? It's like, are we 20? We're in April. I don't even know how we got to April. March seemed like 3 or 4 months in 1 month.
I just had to check. I was like, I know it's April, but it's only April 2nd. The Bay Area has been on the shelter in place thing since the 16th or the 18th. So like we had 2 weeks and places around the country still aren't doing this, but they're coming around. I think the seriousness of the story is coming out is really indicating that we need to be away from each other right now
for sure.
To stop the spread of this virus. Have you been working out? Have you been finding a routine?
Yeah, I've been working out. I've been, I try to get out of the house at least once a day just for going a walk or something like that. I went on a pseudo hike yesterday.
Nice.
I don't know if you look at my Instagram story, it's probably expired by the time we get here, but I had like real vibey pictures. You know what I'm saying? I was taking pictures of flowers. I was vibing. Yeah. And when I'm not, doing that, there's some like online, workouts that I'm doing. You know? I mean, I'm probably more in shape now than I was during this season, to be real with you. Yes, I am. I'm working out a lot more just because I have a lot more time on my hands, so I'm doing that. You know, this quarantine's also been sponsored by hummus
and alcohol
and pita chips and sparkling water. You know what I'm saying? We tapped in right now with the movement.
Oh,
it is
Logan,
not-
I like that you said hummus and pita chips and water, and I'm like, alcohol. Yeah, I've been enjoying mimosas, one or two, but at any hour of the day that I choose.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's empowerment right there. Do what you want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I'm out here living my life.
You know what I'm saying? It's legal. You know what I mean? You're not going nowhere.
No. What kind of workouts are you doing? What is the stuff online? Can I get into that?
Man, just no. I'll say we got a trainer. His name's Archie. You know what I'm saying? I'm just really tapped in with Archie Gilbert. You know what I mean? He's doing these virtual workouts, and it's just he's out of He has a gym in Emeryville, so.
Oh, nice. Is it like body weight stuff? You don't have to have
body weight. I don't really have any weights. I think we're doing it today, and it's going to be upper body. But it's just like you're really just doing body weight. So I'm doing that, and then I'm walking, man. I'm just walking around the neighborhood. You know,
good.
It's dope, man.
I want to show you something, and you don't know that this is coming because I want to see your reaction. I want to show you what I got in the mail. If you were listening last time, I told you I was going to get this, but now that it's actually here, are you ready for this?
I think so. Go ahead. What's this? This is a bouncy thing.
It's a trampoline.
That's a trampoline. Hey! With three, wait, hold on. I don't know if we're doing this on YouTube. We might be doing this on YouTube. You get 3 free workout videos, okay? Yes, I don't know if you saw it on the box, but it was
I saw.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who inspired this?
Who?
I follow one of the coach's wives on Instagram, and she does these workouts, and I need to do something where I get my heart rate up, because I have been walking. I've been doing really well walking. I don't like to run. I've been going up hills, because we live in a hilly neighborhood, but it still doesn't feel like it's enough. Mm-hmm. So now I can hop on this thing and, like, bounce my little heart out. What do you think of this?
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. We out here. And also, this is a worldwide exclusive. My hairline is trash right now. It's so
If you're gonna say it, you have to show people.
I gotta show it. Look at this, man. Look at this. This is bad, dude. We are not doing good in these streets, man.
Well, don't you have, do you have something that you could use to shape it up?
Okay, boom.
Something at home?
Okay, that leads into another thing.
Okay.
Remember, last time I tried to line my hair up, it did not go well. I was in, I was in seventh grade, and my pops, for whatever reason, just was not letting me go to the barbershop. He just was like, not doing it. And so when he went to work, he had some clippers, some like Andes clippers that, you know, everybody know about. You know, you got the clippers, you got the little edgers.
Yeah.
And so when he was at work, I went into his little, got his edgers. I was like, I'm going to line myself up. Boom. Let's get it. So I lined it up. I was cool right here when I was doing it. It would look, my hair looked just like how it is right now. I lined it up. I was like, okay, I'm cool right here. And then I tried to do this part. I lined this up right here, and I went all the way back here behind my ear. My line was so bad that my dad was took me to the barbershop, and this was like 04, 05. So my line was so toe back that they gave me a boozy fade before the boozy fade. So
wow.
Because I was like all the way up to here. Because it was so bad. I'm telling you, it went like to like way back here.
And that's your punishment. You had to go out in public looking like that.
I wore hats, bro. I was like this. I was like this the whole time. Like, yo, what's up?
That's your lessons.
Yep.
Your dad, that's so the lessons.
I'm just going to thug it out. I'm just going to be out here for the rest of the time. Telling you the truth.
I would like to get back to normal. I can see my roots are coming in. I don't know, but whatever.
Right.
It is what it is. Yeah.
14 hours, baby.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. You want to talk some draft rumors? It feels nice to actually talk hoop. Actually, I've been watching these old Warriors games.
Draft, we don't even
nice.
Know
They're
when it's
going to
come, when it's going to happen.
I don't know. It just feels good to watch some sports. Like, I'm enjoying these re-airs. Even if I know exactly what happens, it's like rewatching my favorite movie again, right? I can do it as many times as you need me to do it. It's comforting to watch sports and just to remember other things that I hadn't seen before. Like that game 7 with series that the Cavaliers won, how close that game was the whole time.
And the fact that they didn't score for about 2 minutes straight, and it was the most exciting basketball we've seen.
Yeah. But anyway, all right, so the Warriors are going to have at least a top 5 pick in the – that's what happens when you have 15 wins this season. They could end up with the number 1 pick, and I think the conversation now is like, well, what do they do with it? Understanding that we don't know when this stuff is going to come back. But what do you think? Do you have any feelings or names or like – things you've heard or not heard?
I don't want to speculate too much, but I do believe that I wrote something that came up today about LaMelo Ball. And okay. I don't think that I can say that I don't think he's going to be a Warrior, just for the simple fact that he might have the highest ceiling in the draft in terms of his height, what he can do on the floor, this way he rebounds for his position, all these things. But the man shot 37% from the field in Australia and 25% from three-point range, and he doesn't play defense. That does not spell out Golden State Warriors. So I feel like we can eliminate LaMelo Ball from the conversation. There's some intriguing prospects, but
what are the Warriors even – do they have a need at guard? Like, that's not the first position I would look at.
The first position I would look at either. You just drafted a guard last year. This is Jordan Poole. You have one of the best two guards in NBA history on your roster. This is not a good draft. If you talk to any scout here, it's not really that good of a draft.
No.
So they could pick a guard, but I just don't see why they would pick a guard.
I mean, I guess you take best available, and if he's the best available this year, okay, maybe the circumstances would dictate that. I looked up stuff to go along with the numbers that you had too. So he played 13 games in the NBL. He averaged 17, 8, and 7. That's pretty good. He only played those 13 games because he had a bone bruise. He's 18 years old. Do you think if you draft LaMelo Ball, his family comes with that? And is that fair?
I think so, and I think that to his detriment, he never got to develop.
Yeah.
He's just a really, really, really raw, really good talent. I think that he has it in him, but he's never been able to develop. Everywhere he's gone, it's been, I'm a shooter from 35 feet, no matter what. And he never got the structure. That's why he doesn't play good defense. You know, he's never played in a structured environment. Every time something wasn't to his father's liking, take him out.
He moved him. Yeah.
Moved him.
Yeah. Sent him to Australia, across the world, where he could play though.
After after he sent him to Lithuania.
Yeah. I feel for this kid. And he is 18 years old. And I don't believe if you dislike his dad, like the sins of the father should follow a son.
I think go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you. Thanks. But like, I do think people in the NBA talk, and should the Warriors have any sort of seriousness about giving LaMelo Ball a look, you know, Bob Myers, Steve Kerr are going to be on the phone with Luke Walton, who coached his brother when he was with the Lakers. What is it like having the Ball family? What is it like having this other off the court stuff happening? So I hope LaMelo Ball gets a fair shake in all of this, but maybe his father's hype man tendencies, which I kind of like a dad who's a cheerleader for his boys, but the other side of that, the sideshow part of that, I hope that doesn't follow LaMelo around. You know what I mean?
I will say that you're right. And with all that being said, with his family and, you know, LaVar's reputation precedes itself, but they did work out LiAngelo a few years back, free draft. They did. I'm just saying they did. Like, that didn't hinder them from giving LiAngelo a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. We can talk about James Wiseman as well. I think we did on the last podcast. He's also 18 years old. He has his freshman season, three games at Memphis. Since the Warriors are a little hesitant or unsure about what he's all about, maybe, you know, how high his upside is?
I think everybody is. He's played only three games. Mm-hmm. He left Memphis. Mm-hmm. He has, like, in the short time that we did see him against Oregon, he played really well. But the other two teams weren't really any factors at all. They were just, you know, preseason throw-ins. And you haven't seen a lot of him. He's probably, other than LaMelo, probably the biggest mystery in the draft.
He hasn't been in front of people, right? Like, you want to have a body of work to look at before you draft somebody. He had three games. So do you look at his high school stuff? Is that even applicable for somebody who's going to start going into the NBA? Maybe if you're LeBron, but that was way back in the day.
I think for a guy like Wiseman, he was a guy that is hurting because you can't get any pre-draft workouts.
Yeah,
because of this coronavirus.
And I do feel for these guys. I want them to all have their shot, but this has messed up so many things for so many people.
For sure.
And I do believe the Warriors are looking at the center position. I mean, we've heard Steve Kerr say, we will draft a center. Now, whether that's, you know, with their top pick, whether that's later on, or whether that's just getting a center, maybe through the free agent market, I think there's going to be some additions there for the team. I like Marquese Chris. I think he's done a great job. I think if they bring on another center, that won't threaten him in any way. I think the Warriors like the work that Marquese has done on a budget. They invested in him. He showed up to work. He had a great season. I think it would just be adding a center to shore up that position because there's some uncertainty with how Kevon Looney is doing, and you don't want to play Draymond too much at the center position. So Obi Toppin was another option, potentially. I think, did you write about that or did Monty write about
it? Monty wrote about that.
Monty wrote about that.
He's an older guy. He's an older kid. Played more than 1 year in college. He's a guy that's similar to Eric Paschal, where he can, not game wise, but he is old enough and mature enough to play alongside veterans. And I know we're going to get to that later in the podcast, but he is someone that's ready made for this Warriors team. And if you want to get a guy that you could plug right in, he's the guy to do it.
Hey, business owners, Logan Murdoch here for Bay Alarm. Has the pick and roll become a problem at your business? You know, a piece of equipment that is there one day and gone the next? Put a stop to it with Bay Alarm Video Security System. Whether you want security cameras to keep an eye on things while you're away, or professionally monitored video verification system proven to reduce theft and prevent false alarms, Bay Alarm's got you covered. So give them a call and get protected today. Bay Alarm, what have you got to lose?
No, we were just talking about why the Warriors probably won't draft a guard, and yet we got to mention Georgia's Anthony Edwards. Monty Poole wrote about him. I know you guys have been doing your draft coverage. So he's 18 years old. He's a 6'5 guard coming out of Georgia. He's got a lot of potential. So I want to share one of the quotes that Monty got. The Warriors have the requisite patience and proper environment for someone like Edwards to prosper. They know coaching is a crucial factor in maximizing Edwards's stratospheric potential, and they realize another key factor is environment. So with all of these development coaches that the Warriors have, they can really coach him up, they're saying, because the primary factor is talent, Monty writes, and Edwards has plenty of that. There was some inconsistency, typical of a freshman, but also a product of the junk defenses thrown his way on a mediocre team. Okay, so it feels like Edwards, this Anthony Edwards guy, he's getting some attention as someone with a lot of upside. And if the Warriors, as we know, you know, they like to groom their guys, they like to give them time to develop. They do have patience for rookie until that patience expires. But yeah, you would get some time around excellent guards like Steph and like Clay, who are the best people to learn from. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing, a knock on him, is that his team didn't do well. The Georgia didn't do well in their during their season, but it can go both ways. You know, you can talk about maybe a Markelle Fultz, who did not do well in Washington and, you know, with injuries and other circumstances, hasn't done well in the league. Or you talk about a guy like Ben Simmons, who balled out of LSU. They still didn't make the tournament, but he's going into playoffs year in and year out. So I don't know if I put too much stock into that. I put more stock in personal intangibles and how you as a player play. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Again, a guard. You know, yeah, there's so many guards in this team. We'll see what happens. And that's also why it's really rough to gauge this, because there's no pre-draft workouts. It's probably just the most that the teams are going to do is basically like how me and you are doing. They're going to talk to their guys, you know, digitally. But Anthony Edwards is a really intriguing prospect. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
The Warriors are so, they emphasize fit and personality and culture, that you will lack something if you don't get to meet a person. You know, like, there's something about making eye contact in person, feeling out somebody's, I don't know, their aura, like the way that they carry themselves. Like, you can tell right away if somebody is a confident person, you can tell if they have manners, you can tell, you know, all of the extra things off the court. Fit is important. And I think trying to do this over video will be a detriment to every team trying to figure out who they're bringing into a locker room and who fits on their team. I know I keep repeating that word fit, but it's emotional and it's intuitive. And I do think the Warriors are pretty good at that. I think Bob Myers, maybe, you know, you listen to all of his interviews and he is a thinker and a feeler. He sees the whole person. They're not just players or pieces to him, they're humans, which is how you should conduct a team, I think. Yeah. And you know, all season we've heard the Warriors talk about how this is a young team, they're developing, that development had to happen. But next year, don't you get the sense that they want more of a veteran presence?
Yeah, I mean, and that's something they've said throughout the season. I think they kind of recognized early on this year that it was going to be a lost year. And because they had so many young guys, and when Andre Iguodala left, they knew that was going to hurt them.
And Sean, David West, Zaza,
yeah, all these people. You know, even Bogut, you know, for the short time that he was there. But they didn't have that. And a lot of the times, you know, Steph was injured. You know, he's there, but you're not playing alongside him. Clay's injured, he's there, but you know, he's not there. Yeah. So it's going to take more than just Draymond yelling at folks.
I think that's hard for Draymond too. You do want to hear a message come from people other than your coaches. So, okay, you can hear it from Draymond, but ooh, maybe that's like a little too much flame throwing in your face. You know what I mean? Like, everybody wants to be accountable. And I do think Draymond showed an extraordinary amount of patience listening to him talk about needing to be a leader, getting through to guys. There's no tough love because you're not even sure if you love these guys yet. That's a quote I'll never forget. But I think that's a little bit too much for one man to do. I'm not saying it's Draymond's fault. I'm just saying I think you need more than one voice in the locker room, especially when Draymond had his injuries, his scattered of injuries, and he was dealing with his own stuff, you know, kind of reconciling with the fact that this was not going to be a competitive season. And that's really hard for him. So the Warriors, I would imagine they're going to try to get more veterans in the locker room. They're going to have to do it in a strange free agent market, although prices might come down. Like, who knows what's going to happen in the NBA. It's going to be a weird draft, might be a weird like free agent season. But let's talk about some of these names, shall we? And we can start with some of the things that Bob Meyer said, where he told a group of, season ticket holders over a conference call that one idea for the Warriors is to get a little bit older, those veteran presence. He said, not super old, but add some guys that are more veteran to shore things up there. Obviously, it was a transition year for us. Free agency is always unpredictable. And you don't know what $4 or $5 million is going to get you. So that's interesting. The Warriors do not have a lot of money, again, but $4, $5, $6 million. They'll have the draft. They'll have a little bit of coin, and then maybe they'll have something left over to get some guys on the league minimums.
And also the trade exception from Andre Iguodala.
There you go. So it's going to be an interesting offseason. Again, not a whole lot the Warriors can do, but at least they have these picks and maybe some of their late round picks. I think they've got that first round pick and then two second rounders, I think, which they can either trade for cash to free up more things or, you know, hold on to them. And they have some wiggle room, and you bet that they're going to do the best that they can to help this team win next season. You know, there are windows of time. You have to capitalize on your nucleus and their health and their youth to make sure you can win again. A few names. I actually think if we're talking about minimums and guys they would want to have back, Glenn Robinson III is the first name that comes to my mind.
That feels bad. It feels bad in the way when you say minimum, because he's in these, that would mean that he's in the exact same spot that he was in last summer.
Yeah.
And I know I talked to him earlier this season. You could tell, like, it was last month talking about the season, and you could tell that he was disappointed in Philly. You could tell that, just, and he wasn't making any secrets about that. Yeah. And he would also say, I'd come back to Golden State.
Yeah. But, and I think they would have him back. I mean, when you invest in a guy, and it was the situation, I don't think they wanted to get rid of him. They had to.
Yeah.
To free up space for other contracts. But Glenn Robinson III was having career numbers with Golden State.
Career numbers.
He was the one guy who had started every single game. He was the one constant. Steve Kerr called him the Rock. And when you have so many different starting lineups, I think the Warriors had more than 30 this season, to have at least one guy in there for some kind of consistent thing to latch onto, that's fantastic. He was old enough. I think he was like, what is he, like 26? He'd been around the, he'd been around the league a little bit. He knows what to do. He knows how to conduct himself. He was a media good guy. But most importantly, he played well. He was able to produce. That's why I kind of feel like when Golden State likes you, they are open to bringing you back.
Yeah,
and if the price is right, which it will be for Glenn Robinson III, I think there's a strong possibility he can be back.
For sure. And it'll be, and like you said, he is young, but he's still old enough where he's seen a lot of things. And I mean, we were both in that locker room. Those kids loved GR3, loved him.
Yeah, and Burks.
Burks, yeah. Pascal loved him. Yeah. Poole loved him. Mm-hmm. Poole's not a guy that trusts very easily. Mm-hmm. And GR3 was his guy. Yeah. And so it's, you know, it was rough to see him go, but, like, he would be a great presence for them.
Yeah. What about Jay Crowder? What do you think about Mulford? Yeah.
Jay Crowder could work defensively and 3-and-D guy, but I don't know. I think that Glenn would be the obvious choice if you could get him. Like, if you had to choose between Glenn and Jay Crowder, I would assume they'd choose Glenn, just because familiarity, and also, you know, he already knows the system. He doesn't have to learn it anymore.
Yeah, Jay Crowder had some strong words too, where he was like, I've always wanted to play for the Heat. I'm happy down here. So, I mean, you can't just – you got to think about what guys want for themselves too, in addition to the pieces that could add to your team. All right, I'm going to throw one out there for you. This is just me spitballing stuff. Aaron Baines, a center. Okay, let me tell you why. If you need a center, pick a guy who's been around the block for a little bit. And this is a big dude. This is a bruising center that can kind of bang bodies with the biggest guys in the league. Marquise Chris can't do that as well. He's very athletic, but he's smaller. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have a huge dude like Aaron Baines. He's affordable. He won a championship with the Spurs. He played competitive, you know, he played competitive games with the Celtics. Yes, he's with the Suns now, and maybe the Suns won't part with him. Maybe they'll offer him a good deal because they need him. But Aaron Baines, I like this idea. Now, can you imagine the storylines that the Warriors bring to their team, the guy who rolled over Steph Curry's wrist? I don't know.
It'll be similar to like when Artest caught the bow from Kobe. The year 09, and then they wound up being teammates that summer, or when, obviously under smaller circumstances, when Matt Barnes threw the ball at Kobe, or fake like even threw the ball at Kobe and did that. I mean, it would just honestly be a good fit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but you would just have to make sure Steph signs off on it.
Of course. And I honestly, I don't think there's any ill will there. Clearly it was an accident. You know, like nobody, that was not an injury. That was a fluke.
From everybody you talked to in Phoenix and the people that were covering Phoenix at that time, they say that, you know, Baines was really remorseful afterwards.
Yes, yes.
He was really remorseful.
That was a fluky accident that there was no maliciousness in there. But I can predict some of the storylines about, like, the guy who hurt Steph coming back. But I think he could give the Warriors a lot. And here's another story for you. Klay Thompson and Aaron Baines played together at Washington State. So he's already got a built-in friend here.
Go Cougs, huh?
Go Cougs! All right, you can sense my ulterior motives. It's just to get more Washington State University people on the roster. But seriously, I think Baines intrigues me. And, you know, who knows? If we're just tossing out names, if we're unsure what's going to happen, maybe get a center through the market instead of on the draft.
Maybe. I mean, the fact is they need a center. I know Marquise Chris has been really good, but he does play out of position, you know, and I think that he will be – If Marquise continues to do what he does, he can be a piece for this team. But they need a true center. They need one. It is what it is. When you're going to go up against a Steven Adams and you know, all these big, burly centers, you need a guy that's going to do that. And James would be a good guy for that. But like I said, Steph's going to have to sign off on that.
Yeah, there are no ill feelings. I don't think so. And how much do you think Steph signs off on guys – anyway, like as a courtesy, you run it through your top players. Like that's pretty normal. Like you ask.
Yeah, but this is a special case. I mean, no other player has like broken his whole hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I for sure think you do that.
You want to make sure that your star player is happy. I mean, if they never did it before, I believe that they have. But if they've never done it before, in regards to Steph, then
no, of course they have, and they run it by Draymond. And I think didn't Steve said. They brought somebody on, they ran it by Klay, and they just never heard back because it was the offseason. They're like, Klay's fine with it.
Right. Also, like, I think back to Nick Young. The reason why Nick Young was on the Warriors was because Draymond vouched for him. Kevin Durant vouched for him. Mm-hmm. They had a recruiting visit Brass went down to L.A. to talk to Nick Young.
Wow.
Because Kevin and Draymond and all these guys vouch for him. I mean, like you ask your guys who they want to play with.
Yeah, who
sometimes
do you?
Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But in this case, you absolutely ask Steph if he's okay with it.
Yeah, but when you scout your opponents so thoroughly, you can see a guy who plays the game well, or at least has something to offer. Like if Nick Young was lethal on those threes, if that's something the Warriors needed, okay, fine. I mean, maybe let the defense slide.
Yeah, Nick also at that point had come off a career year from 3-point range with the Lakers, so it made sense that he didn't play well with the Warriors, but you could see why
they took a chance on him. Yeah, and even like I remember Draymond's voice was advocating early for Marquise Chris as well earlier this season. It was between Chris and Alphonso McKinney, and Marquise got that last spot. And I do recall in the days leading up to that decision, Draymond was out there saying, Marquise Chris has impressed the heck out of me. And that's the voice, you know, that's the weight of the voice that Draymond possesses. So, yeah, of course there's all sorts of talks like that because it goes back to the conversation about fit. Who do you want beside you in the locker room and on the court? Who do you want to spend so much time with on planes, in the hotel, at breakfast? For sure you have to listen to your players. Yeah, and Steve and Bob will do that. What else, Logan? Oh, I just did something, What I Miss About Sports.
I read that, and it made me sad.
It made you sad?
I miss sports, too.
Yeah, I miss sports, too. I just feel adrift, right? It's a piece of my identity that's gone. I really like my job, and I'm not working
right now. What's the thing you miss the most? I know you wrote it, but what's the thing, like, the most nuanced thing, or the thing that you didn't know that you missed, that you're just out here, and you're like, dude, I'm not...
It really is the connection to my family, because they watch the Warriors games, so it's texting with them afterward. It's like how on every phone call I have with my mom or my dad, like, it starts with Warriors stuff, because they want the scoop, right? They want to know the latest on somebody's injury or, like, who's going to be traded. So I'll tell them the best that I know. But it's also for my husband's family in Ireland. They started watching Warriors games. Or if they can't find a way to watch it, his mom... and they're 8 hours ahead, will be in bed just refreshing a box score, looking to see if the Warriors win. And then she'll text me afterward. So, like, when we talk to his family, they want to know what's going on. Like, his dad will throw little nuggets about things that he's read. What do I think about this? And it's really cool. It's cool to see, like, who's adopted this team, how much it means to our families, how much sports is a part of our life. And now that part of our life is on pause. Like, it feels like there's a hole right now, and it sucks.
Same.
Yeah. Are you gonna write one?
I want to. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I might overdo it and make like an 800 word story or something, just to get it all out. But we'll see what happens.
It feels good to write. Actually, I'm doing a mailbag. I'm giving myself assignments, and my next assignment is to finish my mailbag to turn it in for tomorrow.
For sure. I'm excited. Have you watched Tiger King? Did you finish Tiger King?
Yes. We watched it in one day.
Yo.
We watched it one day.
I learned I didn't learn a lot of stuff, but a lot of stuff came to light that was kind of already percolating.
Like what?
Just how people act in certain places, man. I didn't realize it was that lit. like, I remember I watched it, and... Oh, the lady that got her hand cut, like, that got her hand, like, chomped off.
In episode one. And that wasn't the craziest part of the series.
She's like, yo, I was thinking about, like, rehabbing it, but I just told him to cut it off. I don't need it. And I'm going to go to work 2 days from now. I'm like, you know that part was egregious, because I was the only thing that they blurred out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The whole thing, like, it became less about the tigers and all about the personalities, and there was some sickness in there. Like, I didn't know episode two is when they introduced the guy. His name begins with B. He's the one who has, like, all the women around him.
Doc has the women around.
Doc Antle. Yeah, but his Bhagavan, what do they call him? Bhagavan or something like that?
It's like Lord or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was like, dude, it's like, is he a pimp? I don't know.
There were some very abusive undertones to this whole thing. Yes. Like, people who have severe trauma in their lives. And then, like, I didn't like how much Joe Exotic focused on Carol Baskin. Like, once he had a nemesis.
He was so messy, too.
Tack on, like, any feeling that he was having, he could tack on to her. Like, I think it was extremely cool. I'm not saying she's a saint, but, like, that was cool. No. I just knocked over my trampoline.
Bro, Joe was so messy, yo.
He knew who he was, to his credit. Bro,
he came out, he had his legs folded, he was flipping through the pages, and he was talking about Carol, and I saw, there was, like, a screenshot I saw on one of the, on Twitter, and he was just like,
yeah.
Carol, I felt for Carol, but also she was the biggest hypocrite.
Yes, she was. Tigers,
like, what are you talking, like, and you ain't even paying, like, there was exploitation on each one. Like, I wasn't a fan of either one, because, like, all of them are legitimately bad people, right?
And very twisted people. So I've been creeping out my husband by going, hang on just a minute. Hey there, cool cats and kittens. Carol Baskin here with Big Cat Rescue.
I can't even do my Joe Exotico retort, because it's just too lit. But
you need a few more piercings if you're gonna do Joe Exotic.
Oh man, no. When Joe got, when Joe was trying to do the at the he was trying to do some promo and the tiger bit his foot.
Yes. No. That when it was like his foot smelled like something. He thought somebody was sabotaging him.
Yeah. He thought like I don't know.
He
thought
he
like,
almost died. He could have died. Like the, you talk about the tiger that was dragging him away.
Yes.
And then those other tigers were like, "Oh, what's going on here?" Like he could have died if he didn't have his, if he didn't fire his gun, he would have died.
No. When how calm he came out when old girl got her hand.
I know.
Ate off.
Well, he went, put on that like paramedic jacket.
The EMT joint, and then
ladies
he was like,
and gentlemen, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, somebody just got their arm ripped off. Yeah. You guys can either get store credit or you guys can get a refund.
You want a refund?
You want a refund? It's all good. We got it under control. Talk to y'all soon.
What is, he's like, I will never recover from this.
Yo, and he has slaps too. Yo, Joe Exotica has slaps. He has so many diss tracks, but they slap so hard.
When he was standing on the truck when he was doing his little song, and the tiger, wait, I saw a tiger, and the tiger saw a man.
Listen. Annie had his merch. He was running for office.
His little underpants, and he's like, I don't wear these. I free fall.
I don't know. Y'all might have to, you know who you are. Y'all might have to, on that.
This is a Tiger King podcast now.
This is the Patreon paywall right now. For the pod. Yo, that was fire. That was fire, man.
It was really, there were parts of that were extremely difficult to watch. And I think it was the trauma that a lot of those people face.
It was compelling television. I didn't know, like, through the first two episodes, I didn't want to watch, but I could not stop watching. Like, they're biting people.
No, it's very well edited. There's a cliffhanger at the end of each episode. It just goes right on into the next one. And before you know it, you've watched 7 episodes of Tiger King in one day.
It's crazy, though, because under no circumstances would I watch this if I wasn't quarantined.
No, of course not.
Like, if we were still in season, I'm not watching this. I'm probably never going to watch this ever. No. But since I had nothing to do, I watched this.
Straight up trash.
Woo! All right, is that it? Is that the Run and Plays
podcast? I think so. That's the Run and Plays podcast. I'll let you know how this trampoline works out. One of my things I need to accomplish today is putting it together and getting a workout in.
You've been putting a lot of stuff together, dude. Like,
I'm trying. I need to keep my hands busy. I just need to do stuff. You know what I mean? I need like a start to finish project. That really helps me.
All right, man. That's what you have, the Run and Plays podcast. Tap in on all platforms. Go on, you know, go on our website. Go on Spotify. Go on iTunes. Tell your mom. Tell your pops. Tell your cousin.
All your friends. Tell your trainer.
Removed. You know what I mean? Tell all of them folks. You know what I mean? Don't go outside. But tell people about the Run and Plays podcast. Tap in.
Thanks for joining us.
We out here.
You guys.